Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, May the 5th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. We have a special guest coming on with us today. She's not with us yet, so let's first welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and if you would, perhaps you could just let me know. We'll just break into my conversation, whatever we're saying, when Suzanne gets to join us. And our show today, we're going to have a guest named Suzanne Tucker, who is a physical therapist and the author of a site called My Mommy Manual. And she's just doing a lot of really awesome work with parents, moms in particular, but moms and dads. She does massage training for parents with babies. And a couple of weeks ago, Suzanne and I have worked together for, actually Suzanne and her husband and I have worked together for the last, probably almost 20 years now. They've been to Heartland and tuned into this work. And as a physical therapist moving into the realm of working with parents and babies, Suzanne has a blog, a website called MyMommyManual.com, which you might want to go to and link into. She's doing some awesome work with parents. And in particular, what caught my attention was a conversation that an article that she had written about discipline and how the idea of discipline in our culture has so many different interpretations and understandings. And so I had asked her as a result of posting on her Facebook site, and if you go to whyagain.com, or pardon me, Why Is This Happening to Me Again on Facebook, which you can do by going to our whyagain.org site, you'll see a little Facebook link there, and it'll click you in. It'll take you right to our Facebook site, and posted there is the article that Suzanne wrote on discipline and parenting, and then there's a whole thread of conversation from parents, kind of, in a way, sadly, mostly women. That it would be nice to see the dads get involved in the conversations. The dads were involved in that. The women wrote about their dad's part, their partner's part in the disciplining of children. And kind of strange that for the most part they were referred to as, well, you know, when daddy gets home, then he'll take care of this, that he's the punisher. And it's, I think, a bizarre role to put a man in, and certainly sets him up for a certain quality of relationship with his children that is not necessarily very constructive. And so our whole conversation today is going to be about how to create constructive relationships between parents and children. So to create constructive relationships with parents and children, and recognizing that the word discipline comes from the word disciple, the post that I did on Suzanne's blog in this regard was in reference to Vladimir Lenin, who says if you want to destroy a culture, all you have to do is change the meaning of its words. And when we changed discipline from disciple, which means properly taught, to mean properly beat up or abused, then we take away a whole realm of possibility from parenting and from raising our children. And I really appreciate Suzanne's efforts to bring us back to sanity in that regard, and your article is just beautifully written, you know, reflecting the challenges, Suzanne, of raising four children, and that's certainly quite a handful, a pair of twins, and then two older ones, and I acknowledge both you and your husband for the way that you're consciously interacting and being conscious parents. So we've invited Suzanne to join us on the show, and also Dr. Tim, who has worked with conscious parenting in the past, and perhaps a former partner of Dr. Tim's. And I also asked Julie if she'd join us today because she has done so much work with parents and with children, having worked in an inner city school in Dayton, Ohio, and a situation where she's dealt with some really tough family circumstances, some really, really difficult ones. And maybe she'll say a little bit about that and what she developed using the work to support the parents. And Julie, I acknowledge you for, and I've watched you for years. I watched you in that school system, even though you're retired now. And what you really did, and you said to me when we talked about this show that you weren't a parent, but what I've watched you do is parent parents and parent these kids in such an awesome, conscious way that I think your contribution to the conversation is going to be fabulous. And so, Suzanne, welcome. We're delighted that you're here.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And so tell us a little bit about your site, My Mommy Manual, and your Mommy Manual. Just share a little bit. Just kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you're going with all of that.
Sure. Well, thank you. I'm a mom of twins plus two and five baby angels. I'm married to Sean Tucker, a wonderful man. He and I started our relationship within Dr. Michael Rice's work in our courtship and in our marriage early on, going to Heartland retreats and really honoring that conscious parenting and conscious conception starts way before, you know, that baby's in your arms. So we were very fortunate and blessed that my mother knew this work, and so this is how I came into the forgiveness tools. And as a mother, it was no surprise to me that I jumped on the superhighway of triggers and confrontations to myself, confronting my own limitations of fear. And in relationship with Sean, we took on the idea that in parenting, we were just at another level of healing. And my Mommy Manual started 6 years ago when a friend of mine who's very tech savvy approached me and was really wanting to take the message we have. Sean and I have a holistic health center here in St. Louis, Missouri. And, you know, through Spirit's way, she approached me and wanted to take it onto the web. And when I didn't really understand what that meant, I said, yes, that's great. And we started My Mommy Manual with the intention of sharing what we were doing locally abroad with the world.
That's what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, it was really awesome because I didn't know what I didn't know, but I knew I didn't know it. So I was all in, but I didn't really know what. But it's been awesome. It was great to have it put in place. Again, 6 years ago, we had two children. And then 2 years into My Mommy Manual, we conceived twins. And so it's just a real blessing to have everything in place so we could continue with this sort of call, this writing and teaching and sharing into that. And so now my kids are 13, 11, and a twin four-year-old, a boy and a girl. And the idea behind My Mommy Manual is to be a bridge to people in the parenting world that probably don't have these tools, that maybe don't even have the understanding that if I'm in pain, I'm in error, and to be a bridge into the invitation that we all have a manual, and it's within us. It's our intuition, it's spirit, it's our higher self. And so the tagline for My Mommy Manual is to look inside, in brackets, yourself for instructions. And the invitation whenever I go to speak to groups of moms or dads or parents is a pull to the body. And that was something that was a real gift in the retreat center, to be able to feel when I'm in love and when I'm outside of love. And as a parent, if we can just access awareness of being out of love or off center, that's everything. And that's my goal with parents, is just to be a pull for awareness of, am I operating from love or conditioning, fear, guilt, approval? And that seems to be just the power mover right there. If parents can get it, it's really that simple, then they can just start really moving mountains. So that is the work. That is my work. It's a website. We're largely based here in St. Louis, and the articles go all over the world. So
that's pretty cool. And we appreciate what you're doing in that regard, and we're committed to supporting you in getting what you're doing out to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, especially the parents. And, of course, everybody's affected by parenting skills because we've all been parented, whether we become parents or not. Those dynamics are within us, and the healing of those dynamics and being able to do that process more consciously is so powerful. And one of the other things I'll just mention at this point, and perhaps it could be a topic for another show at some time, is that before you conceived successfully, you went through some unsuccessful pregnancy, and just the healing work that you've done in that regard and the support that you're being to parents who've been through that experience is also extremely powerful. And, you know, perhaps another show we could address that issue and invite parents who've had that challenge, because it's been a huge one.
Yes, the loss and grief work with the forgiveness work paired together is just, it's a super healing. And I do feel blessed that we are on the journey we are on with the tools we have. And I am also very aware that many people are out there feeling this level of grief and loss with early infant loss and miscarriage, that don't have support, that do not have an understanding of this work, and really a wonderful community for us to all reach out to empower with these tools. Very, very forwarding for us. We have 5 baby angels, as I said, and it was and is a journey. And Michael, I mean, you have been so forwarding to me personally, and even we had the experience of body work with you, of a breath session after one of our little angels took flight. And, you know, I'm still living into that. So it's a very, very powerful experience for us.
I hear you loud and clear. Well, the thing that's been rolling around in my brain since I kind of accidentally touched into, I'm not sure now whether you had sent me an email or anyway, I think I saw a link on Facebook and went to your site, and the article that I happened to go to was this one on discipline. And what really struck me, first of all, is how consciously you speak about the challenges of a 2-year-old, and you know, in the particular blog that I read, where you are called by your 8-year-old into the living room with your 2-year-old and this green marker and your nice new tan couch, choosing that new tan just for your college. And I appreciate the sense of humor that you're able to apply to it, of imagining being a 2-year-old and you've got a marker. What are you going to do but draw with it? You know. And of course, the perspective that you took of, well, okay, so if I were to be one of these people who thinks that hitting is appropriate, then what would I be teaching my child by hitting him for doing what a 2-year-old would naturally do, and that is use the handiest canvas for the marker he's got in his hand. And you know, being able to get into the reality structure in that little one's mind certainly changes the whole perspective from, you know, the average parent who might look at a child at two with a marker and on their nice new tan couch in bright green, who might decide that they've got a bad child and start to label their child and turn them into something that they're not, instead of just the naturally exploring child. I think it, to have that much conscious awareness is awesome in itself, and a perspective that unfortunately not many parents are able to take, simply because they just don't have the brain cells for it. And so it's a pretty cool article. Maybe you could just give us the link to it so that anybody who might want to jump on there as they're listening to the show might be able to go to it and have a look at it.
It's My Mommy Manual. So it's MyMommyManual, MyMommyManual.com. And then if you go to the search box and you type in How Motherhood Helped Me Grow, the title of it, I believe, and it should pop up. And the premise is, in the picture, it's a woman looking in the mirror. And the obvious premise is, so I'm triggered because my child has taken a green marker to our new leather tan couch. But it all happened in slow motion. I was able to see it, to observe myself and observe my child, and to speak to it, like you said, Michael, from the idea of what if I was a parent who believed in spanking? Would this be a moment that I would then hit my child? And, of course, I redirected my child, and you know, I'm able to explain how it all went down, my very real feelings, and then what we did and how he learned, you know, very quickly that, you know, drawing is on paper. And, yes, it's getting into that it's not a behavioral thing for a kid. He's brilliant. He's 1.5, 2. He's this big new canvas, and he's gonna make it pretty. And so for parents that I work with, I teach locally positive parenting classes and infant massage classes. And a lot of it comes down to the parents fear, I fear, that if we don't, quote, discipline our child, that what's going to happen to them? They're going to be unruly, or they're going to have bad behaviors, or they'll be spoiled, or they'll continue if we don't teach them, you know, to not, quote, draw on the couch. But what are we teaching them? We're creating out of avoidance to draw on the couch with our anger and our reactions. And so it's basically just breaking it down. If you don't have the language and you don't have the understanding of forgiveness, or even that I'm in pain, I'm in error, really examine the trigger and then the teaching moment that it is. And then how can we move forward and create behaviors with our children that we're looking for, not ones that we're not, you know, which is what we do. We react, and then we create more of it. The child feels powerful in the negative consequence, and then the parent is surprised, why am I seeing, you know, fighting, hitting, drawing on walls, you know, very amazing parents, very loving, present, conscious parents, feeling like this is a downward spiral. So,
right, and to me, another component of that hitting that often happens in families, because parents have their internalized issues around hostility and fear, that not only the hitting aspect of that so-called disciplinary action, but also the labeling aspect, which is something that Julie has really focused on a lot as a school teacher, and that, you know, when one begins to label the child, they begin to program the child's mind to function in a certain fashion. And then they're shocked when the child functions in the fashion in which their authority has labeled them. And I think that's just as important and significant a piece of the process to look at and to see as an opportunity to heal as the actual, you know, action of physically attacking a child.
Absolutely.
So the other thing go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say hi to Julie. Julie, you were present at Heartland when I was there, and I love your work. I love what you're doing in the schools.
Are you with us, Julie?
Well, she's dropped off. Let me see if I can, Julie, press one if you're back on. Oh, there she is. Okay, so Julie, you're on. And by the way, that link is parenting, how parenting helps me grow.
Oh, good.
Cool. So, Julie, welcome.
Thank you. Very interesting conversation.
Yeah. And Suzanne was just acknowledging your work with kids, and so would love to have a thought or two from you before we move forward.
Oh, all right. Well, I was really enjoying the whole communication. One of the things that I noticed in my classroom, and you talked about discipline, what I think most of the teachers fear is being having the classroom be out of control. And I don't think we look at discipline as much as, you know, the properly taught versus I think more we're looking at control. And this is what, you know, I had to deal with. I was dealing with, well, how do I get these children to cooperate with me, meaning we work together to create a result that we like. And I had to do a lot of worksheets to begin to cooperate with my kids because I wanted to go into control. I figured if I can control them, then they will do the right thing, the appropriate thing. It wasn't you know, about disciplining them. It was about definitely control. And when I work with others, it always seems to be, the bottom line always seems to be control. And so for me, I knew that I had to do my work because there's a saying Michael used to say years ago, when you cooperate with life, life cooperates with you. And so I thought, well, these children are part of my life, and I'm going to spend some time with them, you know, and I want to learn how to cooperate with them. And then as I was cooperating with them, then I would get more of the intuition, the inner thoughts, the place of coming from a space of love versus from a space of I've got to get my needs met somehow or other in here. You know, they've got to do what I think they should do, and we've got to get this job done. But when I was in the flow, which was cooperating, there was a lot more intuitive energy there, and there was a lot more love present in the room. And I realized I was the reflector. You know, it was, you know, I'm the sort of the head honcho, and if I can't do it, then they can't do it. If I can do it, they can do it. And so as I was doing my work, I saw them, you know, soften and start doing their work. What I learned from them was if I drop all labels and really am present for them and teach them the rules, basically they began to empower themselves because they really wanted to cooperate. You know, people think that children don't want to cooperate for some reason, and that's just actually not true. They want to cooperate. They want to follow the rules. Just let them know what the rules are and enforce the rules enough and say what you mean and mean what you say.
Consistency.
The last thing I want to say, you just coming from a place of authenticity and really being able to authentically, this is really what the rules are, and I'm going to stick to these. It's real important.
Yeah.
One of the things I acknowledge you for, Julie, is the fact that in your classroom, and you know, looking at this issue of control, is that most parents want the control to be in their hands instead of being willing to turn the control over to the child, of the child's own life, and how skillfully you did that, that you were able to teach the children, here's the way we work here, here are the rules, and I'm going to put you in control of your life. Rather than the center, the locus of control being out here in my hands, I want to put it in your hands. And when one empowers a child in that way, and the child understands, has been disciplined, properly taught, discipled in how the world works, then the child is an empowered, centered, loving state of being as that carries forward and works within the structure, as opposed to the external, the parent or the teacher on the outside that wants the control to be in their hands because of their own fear and their own lack of internal control of themselves. So to acknowledge your skill in that regard, Julie, and how you did that in your classroom.
Thank you. That was really my blessing. When I saw that happen, when I saw them actually take the ball and run with it, and all I really had to do was say, well, you know, you're on target, you're off target, and that would trigger their mind into going back to what the rules were, who wanted to be on target. And so, you know, it's really empowering them. It was amazing for me. I mean, it was like learning. The whole thing was a learning skill for me. I mean, I was being taught as much as they were being taught.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could just give us a quick rundown on that one event where the power was out and you ended up, because your alarm clock didn't work, being able to be in the classroom until, I don't remember what time, 10 o'clock or something. Perhaps you could just briefly share that story with us so anybody who's listening gets a sense of what it is we're talking about in empowering children and being in control through an understanding of the rules by which the world works and been properly taught in those rules.
Okay, well, basically I taught the children what the rules were in school. Pretty much we had a target, a bullseye, and then there was an A, and then the next circle was a B, and the next circle was a C, and the next circle was a D, and the next circle was an F. And I taught them what grades meant also through that process. But when they were on target, they were in the center, they were in A. So they pretty much knew what the rules were. And so this particular day, our electricity was out, and when I get up, it's dark. And so I was not going to be able to get to school. The garage door totally is locked. And I called our secretary, and she said she would make sure that somebody was in my room. Well, she forgot all about it. And so by the time I really got to school was about 10:30, which the children arrived around 8:05, 8:10, and then they are to pass out their breakfast tickets. A lot of them are low income, so they have a breakfast ticket, or they actually have their money and they go to breakfast most of the time. It's kind of a social thing too. And then we pass out the work and so on. Well, my children came in, they hung up their coats, they passed out their breakfast tickets, they went to breakfast, they passed out all their work, they passed out their folders, which has their name on them, and about 9 o'clock, one of the teachers stuck her head in and wanted to know, and they didn't know I wasn't there, and they said, is everything all right? And they said, oh, yeah, everything's fine, we just hope we're doing the work Mrs. Haverstick wants us to do, was the response. And then they said, the teacher asked them, did they need any support? And they said, no, we're fine. Well, those children carried on as if I was not there. They used the pass to go to the bathroom if they needed to. They carried on that whole morning. And, really, it was almost the whole morning by the time I got there. And when I was coming down the hall, about three teachers greeted me, and they said, do you know that your class, with some of the behavior problems that are in there, et cetera, have been carrying on all morning without you. And I was just so impressed, that I acknowledged the class, but I was so impressed that it really worked. I got to see it work. And it was.
Are you talking about, you're talking about high school kids having done that, right?
Yeah, this is 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. They totally handled themselves. It really, truly, it was like a moment in time where I felt like, wow, this is what we're talking about. This is really empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. Very powerful. And so a parent, when they understand how to discipline and set up rules and properly teach the children that there are ways we behave and ways that we don't, empower the children to have that locus of control inside of them, which will serve them their whole lives long. It's just so amazing.
It's a real gift to the parents when they step into discipline as lead and guide by example. We allow ourselves to then lead and be taught by our little teachers. And that's one thing we explore a lot on My Mom Emanuel is what we're learning from our little teachers, profound lessons to slow down, to be present, to do less and be more. And that's one of the neat things out of the parenting class is universal. People come to class because they want to change their child. and they leave 6 weeks later, and they realize the only thing that got transformed was themselves, and yet look at the behavior of their child. Their child has transformed. Last week's class, a mom said, I said, how's it going at home? She said, I don't know. I mean, I really, you know, I'm not sure, but I've been doing, you know, I've been watching my words, and I feel like I'm thinking before I speak, and I haven't really done anything different with my child, but she's not having tantrums anymore, you know, because they're thinking, I haven't used any tools. I haven't done anything to my kid. I haven't done anything to them. They're operating from a different place, and all of a sudden they're looking, they're saying, well, look at their actions are transformed. No more tantrums. And they don't really get it. Like, how is that happening? You know, and eventually they get it. But at first, they're just in awe that I've done nothing. My kid's not doing anything different. I'm the only one doing anything different here. And look, no more tantrums. So.
Well, it's certainly a reflection of our creatorship. And a lot of people don't realize that as creators, they are participating in the behaviors of everyone and everything that happens around them. And so the child being a number one reflection of one of my favorite tongue-in-cheek lines, of course, you've heard me use before in the workshops, is that having a child is like having your unconscious mind hang out in true living color and Dolby sound. Everything you've never dealt with, they're going to do. And when the child resolves those issues, or the parent, pardon me, resolves those issues within themselves, then the issues oftentimes just automatically and spontaneously resolve with the child. They just disappear.
They do. Well, we had some funny ones. We had a mom complaining about a little girl who was finger painting with ranch every night, and this was a big problem because they regularly ate at grandma's house, and they regularly went to restaurants, and she brought this up in class, and so much of it is just holding it in a group space of love and being intentional. And so people are all the time bringing real experiences because they've learned, wow, that person transformed that last week. They, you know, it's been going on for a month for them, and they mentioned it in class, and sure enough, they're coming back, and it's transforming within a week. So she brought this up thinking there's no way this is going to change because this little one has been, you know, finger painting in the ranch for quite a while, and she's tried everything. And sure enough, we processed it and took it through a forgiveness worksheet and saw the correlation between her own memories of being a child and some feelings with her mom, and it gets very deep and long. But sure enough, she puts on Facebook that night, no problems with the ranch tonight. The little girl stopped the behavior. The only thing they had done is I suggested that she stop off at the art store and get some finger paint. You know, I said, have you been finger painting? No. Why don't we start finger painting, you know, on paper? And this mom, you know, was just ecstatic that with a simple, you know, art kit purchase and a forgiveness worksheet, her little one no longer finger painting on the face with the ranch. So.
Very cool. Well, one of the things that's been rolling around in my head since I first read the article last week is one of your moms who posted to it was talking about how hitting your child is okay if you do it properly.
Yeah.
And when you do it properly, it's not a problem with the child. And it was just like that's been just bouncing around and rolling around in my head so much since then that someone could actually believe that there's a proper way to hit a child. And the fact that that has to come from a parent with some sort of internalized issue that they're not willing to look at and deal with, and so they're externalizing it on the child, and that, you know, raising a hand to a child because one happens to be bigger and stronger than the child and have control creates out of that circumstance what in our codependence work we call a power person. And that power person, clearly, I mean, the parent can say all the words about love, and I'm lovingly disciplining, but the truth is, when you hit a child, you hit a child, and that doesn't come from a loving space. It Mm-hmm. We can talk about and pretend, but the underlying or the hidden motivation is some form of hostility or fear. And until the parent is able to resolve that issue within themselves, they're going to probably escalate that situation with the child. And, of course, the child becomes the unruly one, when I think the truth is it's the parent that's the unruly one.
Yes. The comments, for everyone on the radio show, there's the article and then there's the comment section. And the comment section is really enlightening to read. And what I love about My Mommy Manual is that we are such a bridge, and that is one of the goals we have, is to be inclusive. And because that's how we can get this sort of mind shifting going on to the general public. And so I always come at issues with an approachability and a goal to inspire and inform. So to invite people to look and not tell them what to see, and invite them maybe where in their heart to look. So we explored this idea of spanking, and one of the mothers proposed that her spanking could come from a place of love. And I think you see this a lot with people that get confused with the teachings of the Bible, and they think it's their duty as a parent. They feel a real societal pressure and a permission to hit their child when they are fooling themselves to think it's coming from a place of spiritual direction or love. And she does a really good job explaining the mindset of that parent in her comments. And Michael, you do a very nice job in your reply comment of sharing another opportunity of how to hold that. One story I've shared in the parenting classes that really resonated with parents is a story of a little child who was regularly hit. This child was hit with a switch. You know, the ritual used to be for him to go out and cut a switch for him to be hit with, to bring it into his parents, and his parents would hit him with the switch. And one day the mother sent the child out to go get a switch because he had had a bad behavior, and he went outside and he couldn't find one. So he brought in a rock instead, and he said, "Mom, I couldn't find a switch to cut for you to hit me, so I got you these rocks and you can just throw them at me." And the mother broke down in tears and picked up the rocks and put them on her windowsill to remind herself that she had fooled herself to thinking that she was disciplining her child with a switch, but it was okay. But in that moment, she had insight into the mind of her child. If you can't use the switch, Mom, just throw these rocks at me. That is how the child held this level of disciplining from their parents. Just throw these rocks. I deserve it. Just throw these rocks at me. And that story seems to have power with the parents that still have one foot spanking camp out of some duty, out of some sense of spiritual rightness or societal pressure to control their child. I share that. I hope that is useful or resonates with some out there listening.
Well, I have to breathe through it.
Yeah.
how bizarre,
mm-hmm.
that it goes to that extent. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So I have a question. You know, the question is, when you're working with parents and, you know, like I know my own rage, you know, and my own fears and my own behaviors, okay? And sometimes I don't know them and I get resonated. And so what I have done is discipline myself enough to address, you know, my issues so that when I can be around children or when I am around children that I can come from a space of love. Do you work on that with parents? Like, you know, like if they have the the inkling to, you know, hurt a child or, you know, hurt anyone. You know, it's a projection, obviously, but what do you do with them? Do you say, you know, maybe some worksheets on that, you know, so that you mm-hmm. can clear that?
That's a great question. So the class is a six-hour class, and it's one theme a week for 6 weeks. And the first week is on self-understanding. So it's the idea, and really all 6 weeks are on self-understanding. But as to the parent who comes, they say, okay, the first week is on, you know, understanding what I how I explain it. And let's get underneath the trigger. So why is this triggering you? And most parents, they don't need to know this work to go, yeah, I am really triggered by such and such. And they know that it affects them uniquely, this trigger. So the first week is we're going to get underneath that. Why? Why do you think that is? And we start with one of my favorite exercises from Heartland, and that is your three earliest memories, conflict. And that exercise is powerful for parents. They right away get a new context for the six-hour class they're in, and they leave from that first week getting their involvement in the, quote, behaviors that they came to fix of their child. They walk away with an insight into, wow, usually it's, wow, look, I'm creating the same dynamics in my home. Aren't I powerful? You know, we say, aren't you powerful? You're enrolling your children now into healing around this. So we start right off with that, self-understanding. And then week two is on balance. And so, again, we're talking about, you know, your role in your child's behavior, but we're looking at a different facet. And in week two, we really get at the pressures that families and parents specifically are feeling these days to be perfect and to be the Joneses and to not show any weaknesses or, you know, to be what I joke as the Facebook family. Families these days are bombarded with perfect. Visually, you know, everybody sharing their happy moments, their perfect happy children. And what's underneath Facebook is what's real. And so week two, we talk a lot about letting go of perfect and how when we can let go of perfect for ourselves and love ourselves for being just enough, then we can start to love our children for who they really are, not who we'd have them be. And we can love their imperfections and their challenges just as much as we can love their gifts. And we start to get insight into that our children are perfect and love as a noun, not a verb. And that's where we get into that is week two. And I could continue and tell you each one, but the forgiveness work and the worksheets is through everything. It's through all 6 weeks. And I'm just now starting a level two class where we're going to go into more in-depth worksheet teaching and sharing and some of the other more experiential-based tools. But there's a willingness in the parents, and what I love about the class is they don't need – I've tried to offer this work in different ways, Julie. I've called it yoga parenting, conscious, all these other words, mindful, and these do not resonate with your average parent. They don't come to class. When I finally found on the secret formula, it's positive parenting. This attracts parents who know they are wanting to parent differently than they were parented, but they don't know how. They don't feel they have the tools. And they're attracted to the class, and they're definitely taking ownership of their part in this. Even though when they come to class, they're still thinking, I'm going to fix my child. I'm here to fix my kid. And they get a surprise. And the thing I hear time and again is, I am more aware. I am changing my words. I am pausing before I speak. Or I am taking time for me for the first time in 4 years since I've had kids. I'm starting to recognize the importance of me time. And that's a whole topic we could talk about in the parenting world that is a real avenue for healing, is just the permission to remember to fill your cup and to take time for yourself.
Well, and also it may be the time to take time for yourself to empty your cup. What you triggered when you were talking about that idea of the Facebook parent, the perfect parent, mm-hmm. is Yeshua. When he goes to a certain Pharisee's house for dinner, he's invited to dinner, and he doesn't first wash his hands. And the Pharisee looks at him and is just shocked that he didn't wash his hands before dinner, you know, partake in the external ritual. And Yeshua gives us there a definition of a Pharisee, and really, as opposed to positive parenting, what most people are practicing is Pharisaical parenting. Because mm-hmm. what Yeshua does is he defines what the Pharisee is, and that is you keep clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward parts are filled with hostility and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the parent who is willing to face their own hostilities and fears, which I think is just awesome that you're inviting them into that space to do that, so they can be consistent parents rather than Pharisees, you know, insisting that the family looks good and everybody's perfect and blah, 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 but being able to be true and honest, and instead of keeping everything looking good on the outside, really truly entering into the healing process of cleaning the inside of the cup and the platter, so that we can truly be consistent as the beings we were designed to be as love. That's just awesome that you're doing that.
I'm picking that one up. We do talk a lot about filling the cup, and Sean and I privately we talk about emptying, being an empty vessel. I am definitely pulling that in now into class. I love that for families to have that, because that's what's happening. There is such an emptying. And what the real surprise to me is the speed at which the parents are getting on board and opening the fada, the open. They're opening and sharing, and this vulnerability they're stepping into. It used to be like class three. It's class one. And the way we open now, the way I open now, instead of, I used to always ask for, you know, what is your goal or why are you here? And I changed my wording, because what I was getting is I was getting all the pretty answers. I was getting all the Facebook answers. I want to be more patient. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better dad. You know, these were the pretty answers. And when I changed my question, I now say, there's two things that has you here. Why are you here? And then there's what you want to get out of it, and then there's what has you here. And when I say that, I say, what has you here is, yesterday I was braiding my daughter's hair, and she was micromanaging the braids such that I thought I was going to pull her hair out if she said another thing, you know, and everybody laughed. And that's what has you here. Or what has me here is my two-year-old. Every time I, you know, we're outside in the front yard and I ask him to follow me or come with me and the neighbors are out, he runs the other way and I'm so embarrassed, you know, and everybody laughs and the heads go up and down. And so we begin class and I ask, now you share, what has you here? And when we lead with that vulnerability, everybody in the circle, and there's usually about 15 in the circle, and we get a lot of couples, husbands and wives sharing, and they're all sharing their big trigger, you know. So it's like mainlining right into what's operating for you. Is it wanting to be perfect? Is it feeling judged by others? Is it control? As you know, Michael, it's in our words, and they share the stories, and I just gently write down, you know, with each family what's up for them and what has them here, and that seems to really help us get right into the ooey, juicy, good stuff. And the other thing is the heads going up and down as each parent shares around the circle. There's, by the end of the circle, everyone knows they're in the right place, quote unquote. They feel like, this is great. This is a place I can really let my hair down. So I feel like that emptying and that letting go of the Facebook family and the perfect it happens right at the beginning, and it creates a sacred space of truth and non-judgment in the space that is really important, that feeling of non-judgment, of, let's rephrase that, of acceptance, you know, a feeling of acceptance. Whatever's going to be shared, I can be real and really share my heart.
That's so powerful. That's so awesomely powerful. It's just, you're opening such an awesome space on the planet. And I know that, you know, Dr. Tim has also worked in that arena of working with parents. And a friend of his, Christy, I don't know whether Christy is with us today, but I know Dr. Tim is. So let's just invite Dr. Tim to share a few thoughts from his perspective and in the parenting realm. Tim?
Well, my thoughts are I'm just sitting here listening and taking notes about all the wonderful things that are being shared, and I'm in full agreement. The primary thing that struck me is Julie was talking about the need to be there in the moment and be aware, and the primary block for that for all of us is the garbage that's inside that we need to get out of. And then that's exactly where the conversation went. So, you know, doing your own work and being able to focus internally and understand if I'm in pain, I'm in error, is, I think, one of the primary keys. The next biggest thing, a little gem that has been so helpful for so many parents over the years, for a long time I've said to people, take a step back when this happens or that happens, and then they assume I'm telling them, hands off and just let your kids do whatever they want to do. And I say, no, please, when it comes to your children, take everything they do seriously and don't take anything they do personally.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And if anything comes up and I feel upset, that's a personal response. If I'm worried that I'm going to look bad because my kids are misbehaving and I'm a psychologist and we live in a small town and everybody knows who I am, if that's my focus, the ship has already sunk. You know, if I'm worried about how it's going to look, how it's going to reflect on me, now I'm hallucinating and I'm completely out of the picture and there's no way I can give my child what my child needs. So I was just reminiscing this morning with an old friend, and she is just a few months older than I am, and we've known each other since the crib because our parents were in the Navy together. And I tell them that the vast majority of things that I share with them that are useful, they didn't come from a psychology book, they didn't come from a doctorate-level training class. They came from having really good parents and choosing really good mentors in life, and then the trial and error technique. So I feel blessed, and I'm glad to have knowledge that you're out there with this blog. I thoroughly enjoyed the article that Michael referred to last week, and I just want to congratulate you and encourage you to keep up the great work.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. What a great sharing. Just hearing the stories everyone shares and the way they share the words, it's so forwarding, so forwarding. Because a lot of parents struggle with that very thing, what you just shared there, and the way you explained it, I will be picking that up.
Well, I can see a book entitled The Healing of the Pharisaical Parent. And dealing with that internal dynamic that's always under the surface of, you know, the variety of things that we brought forward of, you know, looking good, of being in control, of being perfect, of needing to be right, of having to put a show on for the community. Well, there's a whole other thing going on under the surface and opening the space. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, you know, we have just begun to scratch the surface of the opening of the conversation and our showtime is almost over. And I know Jeannie said that there was a hand up, so a couple of thoughts. One is we'll pull our caller in and just see if they have a question regarding parenting, and we'd like to limit it to that with today's show. And maybe, you know, Suzanne, we had talked with you some time ago about you maybe doing a blog talk show on our network to do that with parenting, but maybe a starting point would be that, you know, in the same way that we have Aramaic Fridays now with Dale Allen Hoffman, maybe you'd be willing to set aside the time on Monday mornings, and maybe we could make this parent-teacher talk day on Mondays and carry on this conversation. And everyone who knows parents, invite their, you know, especially new parents into the conversation to have this these gems, this this just awesome wisdom that you're bringing forward that you can, I mean, you just change so many people's lives. The ripples that go out from this, you know, are just incalculable.
Well, I would love that, and I know that, that our community here would welcome it. The one thing I really see the pull for is community, feeling people feeling like this is great and I want to keep this. I want to keep this circle going in my life. And so this radio show, and I've been feeling led to start a positive parenting Facebook group, private secret, anyone who's gone through the class, and this would be a wonderful offering, the Monday radio show.
Well, if you're up for it, I'm willing to establish that right now as our, it's going to be parent-teacher talk radio on Mondays.
Great.
If that works for you, then it's a done deal. We'll start, today's the first one, and we'll move forward from there.
I have two hands and 2 feet in the air.
All right. Cool. Well, let's just check in with Jeannie and see what our caller has to say. Jeannie?
Okay. Yes, I think it's Tony, area code 517. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I will call in tomorrow to share a little more detail, but I just had a miracle in my eyes this weekend. And I guess the point that I would reiterate today is that I could have heard this show a year ago, and I know Michael remembers driving with me in the car and talking about my own issues with my son and trying to understand the idea of discipline. And I've been doing my healing work, the worksheets, for a year now, and I could have heard this show a year ago and done stuff to do the right thing. But this weekend, there was a breakthrough that I could see with 100% clarity that 100% of what Alan was, the events of this past week were 100% reflection of what was going on inside of me. And we had a time where as he was sharing his thoughts with me and I was, you know, responding to him, I was noticing that I had clarity about what he was sharing. And it was through all the forgiveness that I've done, all the canceling of that stuff in me, which allowed me to get to a place that I could actually do real parenting, I guess. What I wanted to share today. And, you know, it's so huge.
Yeah.
And
that's just, and we are getting down to just the last few seconds, so perhaps you could call into the show tomorrow and share a little more with us, Tony, in detail of what's happening, because it sounds like exactly the kind of thing that opens the space for all of us to understand and take to a new level. And I feel like we just so scratched the very, very surface of this topic that we could devote another 5-day-a-week radio show to it, but we'll go for teacher or parent-teacher talk Mondays from here on out and carry on with the conversation in the meantime. If you're in the Tri-Cities area in Washington State, we'll be at the Center for Divine Science tonight and all this week doing a series of free workshops. Check out whyagain.org for the schedule, 7 to 9:30 for the next 5 nights. Saturday we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And then in 2 weeks, Jeannie will be in Bristol, Tennessee, doing a women's workshop. And so lots of things happening. Check out the website. Give the universe the best gift you can possibly give. Have the best year of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.